Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, February the 23rd. Absolutely lovely day here in North Texas. A little windy, but other than that, just an absolutely lovely day. We seem to be having these beautiful days, rainy days. We've had that kind of February, so nothing really that unusual. The one thing we're missing, frankly, so far in February is a day with ice or snow. We haven't had that, which is interesting. This particular year, we haven't had that, yet our friends up in the Midwest, they're having plenty of snow and plenty of ice up there. So anyway, whatever it means. But today we're going to talk about Venezuela. There is a turning point. There is this is the weekend, I think, that something is going to happen down there. I mean, I think we've now reached the point where this cannot go on too much longer. It's simply unsustainable. So we'll talk about that. I also have a post coming out about Senator Kamala Harris. And the question I'm asking is she good on her feet? Can this lady actually think on her feet? Can she do a good job as a candidate? One of the things that you have to do as a candidate, of course, is to think on your feet. And she hasn't really done that so far in the early days of her campaign. Now, granted, it's early and, you know, there's time to adjust. But so far, she's not really doing very well in what is really an important characteristic or quality of a presidential candidate, which is to think on your feet and avoid, you know, making mistakes that expose you to this group or that group. But let's talk about Venezuela. As of today, Saturday, you have basically a country appears to be almost in a civil war. You know, there are thousands of people in the streets protesting Maduro, and then you have elements of the army basically protecting, but the people are protesting Maduro, and you have elements of the army protecting Maduro. And there are continuing signs of defections from the army. The country is basically unfunctional. I mean, this is a total collapse of a country. You cannot have a country like that where everybody's in the streets, there are shortages of everything, there's no medical supplies. And now you have humanitarian aid. Now, some of it, I understand, came through Brazil, Brazil, Venezuela border. Some of the aid, some of the trucks did go in, and that should help. But the aid coming through Colombia, through the Colombia border, much of that is from the United States, and they're not allowing that in. And the problem is the people need this. Whatever, you know, whatever Maduro thinks of Trump, his people desperately need the medical supplies and the food that is in those trucks. And for him to say, no, that's not coming in because I don't like Trump, that's not in his best interest, or certainly not in the best interest of the country. I think that Maduro has put himself in a no-win situation. He is truly in a no-win situation. If he doesn't do anything, if he doesn't take a strong stand to protect himself, these crowds are just going to get bigger. I mean, they're pretty big already. But if he takes any action against the people, if he orders his troops to shoot or attack any of the thousands of people in the streets, well, he's going to have the whole world against him. Because that's going to, I mean, especially today with all the technology, I mean, the world will see it immediately. There's no way of hiding that, as you might have been able to do at another time in history. So, I mean, he's in a no-win situation. It seems to me the quicker he figures that out, the quicker he figures out that he needs to get the heck out of the country. He needs to get the heck out of the country and go to Cuba, probably Mexico, wherever he goes. He needs to get out. Maybe Spain is another possibility. But he needs to get out, because the longer he sticks around, number one, he's probably going to get killed if there's any kind of a confrontation between his forces and other forces. He may very well be arrested, which means he'll end up probably in prison for a long time. Or if he shoots at his own people and the United States intervenes, then he's likely to be arrested and processed in the United States for drug trafficking, and he may very well end up with El Chapo in Colorado. So this is a moment, I think, for Maduro to look at the future and say, where do I want to spend the rest of my life? Because he's not going to spend it as the president of Venezuela. Those days are gone. He's not going to be the president of Venezuela 3 months from now. But he could very well be sitting in a jail in Venezuela, or he could be dead, or he could be in Miami, you know, waiting to be processed for drug trafficking, just like Noriega. Remember Noriega from Panama back in 89? That could happen to him. The exact same thing that happened to Noriega could happen to Maduro. He gets brought to Miami, he gets processed for narco trafficking, and then he gets convicted, and he'll end up somewhere in a maximum security prison in the United States, just like Noriega. Noriega just passed away a couple of years ago, but he spent almost 30 years or 20 years in an American prison. So it's time for Maduro to decide where he wants to be. It's a tough call. I'm not in his shoes. But I would have to think that the people around him are trying to get him out of the country, or otherwise it's going to get ugly, very ugly for Maduro and for the people of Venezuela. I there's no future for Maduro in Venezuela. There's absolutely no future for him in Venezuela. And the sooner he figures that out, if he hasn't already, the better it's going to be. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos. We'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpist. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos on the show information. Just click on that. It'll take you to his schedule where he's playing around town. Of course, Carlos is from Venezuela. He and his wife, Luisa, are both from Venezuela. So I'm sure their sense of concern is sky high at the moment, as it is the case with most of our friends from Venezuela. This is a tough moment for the people of Venezuela, either in Venezuela or in Miami or wherever they happen to be in the United States. So we pray for a solution, but the solution is for Maduro to leave. He's got to get out of the country. There's no future for him in Venezuela. That's just the way it goes. Well, on this day in history, 1861, looking back to this day back then, President-elect Lincoln took the train to Washington, D.C. Of course, he was president-elect. He left Springfield, Illinois, and he traveled a little bit of the country on his way to assume the presidency. And while he was supposed to originally go to Baltimore, that was where the original destination of the train was. But at the last minute, they switched to Washington, D.C. for security reasons. And he landed in Washington, D.C., and he was super protected because they had uncovered an assassination attempt in Baltimore against the president-elect. That was a very difficult time for the United States. You know, we sometimes think of the problems we have right now and the divisions that we have right now, and we have many, there's no question about it. But those were very tough times back in 1861, and president-elect Lincoln eventually made it to Washington, obviously made it to the presidency. That would have been a couple of weeks later, because back then we used to inaugurate the presidents on the 4th of March, and he became the 16th president of the United States. But it was a little hectic, that trip to Washington, D.C., a very difficult time for President-elect Lincoln back then. Well, I have a post coming out on Sunday where I'm talking about Senator Kamala Harris. You know, she came into the presidential scene, if you will, or the campaign, without that much experience. I mean, she was the Attorney General of California. That's an important job. I don't mean to undermine that. That's an important job in a very big state. But one of the problems I think that Democrats like Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren and some of these Democrats, one of the problems they have is that they've never really faced tough competition, particularly tough Republican competition. So that they're not really tested. They have not gone through the wars that prepare you to to be a better candidate in the general election, because basically they've been running in one-party states, whether it's Kamala Harris, whether it's Bernie Sanders in Vermont, although, of course, Bernie Sanders did go through a campaign in 2016. But we've seen Kamala Harris make some, what I would describe as pretty rookie mistakes in her first effort here as a candidate. You know, first of all, she came out in a CNN town hall and she said she wanted to end private insurance. Well, that didn't go over well because most Americans like their private insurance. In fact, private insurance is an incredibly important part of our healthcare system. And private insurance companies also employ thousands of Americans, probably millions, directly or indirectly. So it's not a good idea to shut down private insurance companies. She had to come back later and clarify it, which, of course, was not a very smart thing. Then came her comments about smoking pot, which didn't go over well. I mean, even her own father was very angry and disappointed that she used the comments she did promoting the, you know, her father was angry that it was promoting the idea that Jamaicans are, you know, people who take pot, you know, the stereotype of Jamaicans smoking pot. So that didn't go over well. That didn't go over well. And here more recently, the incident with this young man up in Chicago, where she first came out, like a lot of people did, in defense of this young man, whatever his name is, I really don't, I cannot remember it right now. Justin, I think, is his first name. But anyway, you all know who I'm talking about. And she came out, and then, of course, she's had to, you know, redo her story, as everybody else who supported this young man had to do. But I think her biggest problem is she doesn't know when to stop pandering. It's almost like she thinks she has to pander to every group. So if she goes on these shows, you know, that have, you know, very limited audiences, like that radio show she was on or whatever, she seems to be always pandering to a group rather than speaking to the general electorate. She's going to have to win that general electorate, you know, later on in the campaign. That's who she's going to have to win. And if she wants to be somebody's vice president, let's say Joe Biden's vice president, she's going to have to come across as someone who can actually help Joe Biden win something other than what Hillary Clinton won in 2016. I mean, look, Joe Biden is going to win whatever Hillary Clinton won in 2016. I mean, that's a given. He's going to win California. He's going to win New York. Maybe not, but I probably give it to him at this point. But what he has to do is win those blue-collar workers in the middle of the country who voted for Donald Trump. You're not going to win over those blue collars and more traditional Americans by making some comments about pot or by, you know, having confusing remarks about private insurance. So I think she's got a lot to learn about being a candidate. And I ask the question, and I ask it, you know, with all due respect, but can she really think on her feet? She's very charming, very telegenic. She's very good at reading a speech. But when you're a candidate, a lot of what gets you in trouble is what you say when you're on your feet, when you answer questions from the media, when you answer questions being thrown at you, or when you're in a debate and you've got to explain yourself and, you know, you can't just read from the teleprompter. So far, I would have to say I'm not very impressed with her as a presidential candidate. I think she's got a lot of problems with discipline, and I believe that this is something that is going to hurt her as she goes on in the campaign. Now, one thing going for Kamala Harris is that the California primary is coming on very early, and she's probably going to win that, I would think. So that's going to give her a boost of delegates heading into some of the other primaries. So that's a big boost. She's got that going for her. And, look, the media is going to fall madly in love with her if she's the candidate. I mean, she's going to be the darling. I mean, it's going to be Obama version 2. I mean, it's going to be the female version of Obama. So she's going to get a lot of good coverage, a lot of softball questions as she campaigns for president. But she's got to learn at being more disciplined, and she's got to learn at just being a little bit better on her feet. So far, I don't think she's done a good job of that. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.